Welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable podcast, featuring Ted Ings and his distinguished guests. Each week, you'll gain valuable insights to level up your game in retail automotive's fixed operations. This episode is brought to you by BG Products, partners beyond product. And now, here's Ted Ings.
Welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable. Jay Gonnerin is with us. He's the co-founder and president of a company called Wrenchway. Very close to the Fixed Ops community, very much involved with automotive retail and in the technician space. Great friend of the Roundtable. Jay Gonnerin, welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable.
Great to see you as always, Ted. Always enjoy our conversations and a true pleasure to be back on the Roundtable today.
And Jay, congratulations to you. You're doing great work in that tech space. You've had some changes along the way I want to ask you about today. But I met you for the first time, and we were just talking about it in the green room. It's been 5 years, Jay, since we got together in that little boardroom in that conference room in New York City when you came out to the very first Fixed Ops Roundtable. And you came out to every Fixed Ops Roundtable that we did, you know, right up until the time the world changed the following year.
It's incredible that it's been 5 years. And I mentioned this prior to jumping on the recording here, but in some ways it feels like it was a million years ago. And that it was, you know, that first time in New York, just it felt like a long time ago. But then when you think about it, you're like, man, it's not that long ago. And I still remember the hotel I stayed at. I still remember the boardroom and the group that we had there and the excitement that was all around that round table in that first session. And it was so cool. So congratulations to you as well. I mean, seeing the growth of the round table over those 5 years, what you've been able to do to really springboard Fixed Ops to be a priority within dealerships has been really fun to follow. And I'm just really, really happy to be a small part of it.
Well, congratulations to you on Wrenchway, because you have been making big moves and strides within the industry. So to bring our audience up to speed, perhaps there are some people, probably not many, who don't know you. But Jay, tell us, what is Wrenchway and what does Wrenchway do?
Yeah, so our Wrenchway is focused on technicians, and it's really broken off into two different sections. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible. One being kind of a job board on steroids. Really, transparency is key with our job board. Being able to show a technician what they're signing up for. I think in a lot of ways, technicians have some level of angst if they don't know what it is that they're signing up for. So the job board is really essentially a way to provide transparency to that technician to allow them to do their due diligence. It's funny because it's kind of expanded beyond technicians as well. We've got a lot of service advisors, all the way up to fixed ops directors that are using Wrenchway in a variety of different ways. So that's been very, very cool to see. The other side of it is the school side. And so we have a piece of the platform called School Connect. This is to attack more of the foundational issue of needing to get more people into the industry. We need to support these programs, both at the high school and post-secondary level, to really be able to bring that next generation of technicians into the industry. And this is something that, quite frankly, we've struggled with as an industry for a very long time. And at some level, I think that's what brings me the most satisfaction with the industry or with the platform as a whole, is that we are starting to pay attention to that side. We are starting to really prioritize those relationships with the schools to hopefully get more great people into our industry.
Jay, Wrenchway is a great resource for the entire industry. Before we got on today, I visited Wrenchway.com, and I visited because you've got, in fact, it's in the ticker even down below, those top shops on Wrenchway.com. Fascinating, the work that you're doing. And I like the way you're going about it, because it is the right way, which you and I know in our heart of hearts. And what are you seeing, you know, in that space, that recruiting space, as far as what techs are looking for in perhaps a new employer?
I think they are looking for everything that you and I would look for, right? They're looking for really good pay. They're looking for great benefits. They're looking for more flexible time to be able to spend with their families. But ultimately, what they're looking for is transparency to be able to understand what it is that they're signing up for. I think a lot of people rely on maybe a job board such as Indeed, which if you go to any city that's got any population and you do a search for automotive technician on Indeed or whatever job board it is, you're going to see hundreds, if not thousands of jobs out there. And the problem with those job boards is they all kind of say the same thing, right? We all have a great family atmosphere. We all have great management, which I always kind of laugh because typically it's the manager writing that they have great management. There's a lot of things that are just kind of minutia, or they kind of just say the same thing over and over again. Each job posting does for each dealership. And I think it's a great way to, you know, maybe be able to understand this from a dealership standpoint, that you have to be different at some level, right? If you're not different, if you're kind of saying the same thing and you're offering the same thing as everybody else, what would be the point of a technician leaving other than pay, right? So being able to really share your story, this is something I talk a lot about, is being able to really show why you're different. You know, if you're relying on a job board ad that says that you offer free uniforms, I think a technician is going to really look at that and say, okay, that's really no different than what I've already got. Why would I do it? Why would I make the move? And it's so much harder for a technician to make that move, because for a white collar job, you pick up your laptop, you go to the next place. With a blue collar job, like a technician, they have to pack up their toolbox. They a lot of times have a rollback come and move the toolbox for them. It's a process to make that move. And so not only is it one of their biggest moves of their life, you know, outside of buying a house or maybe a car or some other type of financial investment, it's also painful to make that move. So you have to give them a reason as to why they should change. And I think being able to be transparent, that's what the new age technician is looking for, is they want to be confident that when they make that next move, if they feel like they're being burned right now by their current employer, they want to make sure that they're not being burned when they move forward to their next job.
Jay, you mentioned the schools a little earlier in our conversation. Tell us why. Let's talk about it a little bit. Why is that so important? And why are you working in that space?
Foundationally, I think it's what we have to do as an industry to fix the problem. There's an abundance of statistics out there that tell us that there's a huge shortage. And most dealerships feel that every single day. They're not able to book appointments into their service drive because they just don't have the people to do the physical work. And for, in my opinion, decades, we've kind of turned our back to the schools. And maybe we would show up for their advisory committee meetings. Maybe we would show up from time to time. But most times it was us just calling the school at graduation time and asking for their best graduate. And I've got some really funny stories over the years as to how frustrating that is to that tech school instructor if you're just calling at graduation time and asking for stuff, right? And the way that I relate this relationship is very similar to a dealership, in that the relationship between maybe a sales manager and a service manager, right? And most times when the service manager is sitting and working at their desk and they see a sales manager come around the corner, it's not typically to have a conversation about how their day is going. It's because that sales manager needs something from that service manager. And there's always kind of that weird tension in that relationship. So what we really want is for that school to feel comfortable talking to that dealership and not having it only in times when the dealership needs something. Why don't we flip the script here? Why don't we flip the table and go be present at these schools and make sure you give them a backbone? Something we've learned as we've really grown our presence in schools is that there are a lot of these schools, especially high schools, that just don't have the support needed to maintain their program and keep their program alive. And a common trend or a common theme that we're seeing right now is that, one, there's a huge teacher shortage. There's not enough teachers to fill all of these open positions, which is if those are the people that are supplying us with our new technicians or our new crop of technicians, but we can't even find them, that's a problem. But then also a big reason why we can't find those teachers is because they're not supported once they get in there. A lot of times they're fighting against an administration to be able to get budget. A lot of schools throughout the country are fighting those budgetary issues to even to have a sustainable program. And so what we found was that there's a really simple correlation to being able to support that school and the success that that school is going to have, right? If we're able to show up and maybe they need help at a school board meeting because they're at risk of getting their budget cut for their department, which we've seen that several times. If industry can show up and voice their opinions, and the luxury that we have in our dealerships is that we have these big, massive facilities that everybody sees. There's advertising on TV that people typically know who you are as a dealership. So your name carries weight when you go into those conversations. So being able to back up that teacher when they're needing something, or if the school can't provide it, what can we do as an industry to help provide that school with those resources? I just think it's so important that we're proactively involved with these schools, because it's the only way we're going to change our luck moving forward.
One of the things that you do at Wrenchway, Jay, that I really love is the way you market. Okay. And you've gone right to the technician in many cases. I got to admire your presence on social media, especially, for example, TikTok. Okay. And the number of automotive technicians that you've got following you on TikTok on Wrenchway. Do you want to speak to that and why you decided to do that? Because I think maybe initially a lot of people might have hesitated, but you jumped right in. And, you know, it certainly looks like it's paid off.
It's funny because all the credit goes to our marketing team. I'm not on TikTok personally, other than to go on and see how many people are following or maybe looking at the comment section. The reason I'm not on there is because I know how addictive that platform is. When you get on it, you are stuck out there. And so our marketing team came to us and said, hey, we think this would be a really good opportunity to get in front of technicians and be able to share stories. We do a lot of content within dealerships to be able to take out to TikTok and be able to use out there. But I think the really interesting part about TikTok to me is how much you can learn about what technicians are saying about us, right? What they're saying about the shops and the dealerships. And some of the comments are not all that flattering. And I would honestly say most of the comments aren't that flattering. And so being able to take that, and if you can go out as a dealership and not be defensive about what you're reading and truly kind of take that, process that information, and be able to hopefully implement a change in your dealership to make those technicians more happy, I honestly think it wouldn't just be the technicians that end up more happy. I think it's your entire business and all of your employees that end up happier because of what you're doing out there. But they're out there and they're telling you what they think of our opportunities. And one of the things I'm really passionate about right now is how do we get our best and brightest to speak glowingly about our industry? Because right now, if you go out to any of the social media platforms, a lot of it isn't that flattering. And a lot of it is some of our best people saying, hey, kid, don't come into this industry. It's a hard industry on you. You have to spend a lot of money on tools and your body is going to be worn out. Like, there's just so much negativity out there that if we can use that and really comprehend that information, and maybe it's something as simple as putting some form of health and wellness program in and getting your technicians to actually take it seriously, or doing something else that helps them out personally in their career so that they can have a really nice long career with you. I think it's just really important to listen to what they're saying out there.
I think you and I and a lot of the people watching here today are in a great space that we're in fixed operations, Jay. Probably no better time and no more intriguing time in the automotive industry, right, to be in what we're doing. What would you say has been the most challenging part about growing your company in this automotive space?
There's a lot of challenges in starting a business of any type, and anybody that's done it, I give you a lot of credit for doing so. For us, I think it's getting people to think differently about something that they've done for several years, if not decades, which is to actually prioritize your people. So often we say that people are our number one priority, yet they're number 100 on our to-do list. How do we as leaders move up in that regard? How do we get better at that and not make it such a reactive situation where, hey, I need a person, I'm going to post an ad and be disappointed with the results, but how do you have effective systems in place to make that happen? We have pieces of the platform that allow shops to be able to use that in a more proactive fashion. But for me, in what we've done in growing the business, that's the hardest part. And we get it. I talked to a service manager at a dealership down south here probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. And he said, Jay, when I walk in the morning, I walk in at 6 a.m. I'm not gone until 7 p.m. And every single day I am running my tail off until I get to the end. And I'm always putting out fires. And so I understand the complexity of how hard it is to really prioritize your people. But the more you're reliant on putting out fires, the more you're just going to kind of find yourself chasing your tail. So, you know, what are you doing from a process standpoint? What are you doing from maybe a mindset standpoint? I know a lot of dealer principals. To me, the best dealer principals that are out there right now prioritize this, and they put systems in place to make sure that their people aren't chasing their tails. But for me, in growing the business, that's been the number one most difficult thing is, yes, we know that people and trying to find people is one of the hardest parts of your business. But until you start to change your mindset on where it falls in terms of your priorities, you're just going to kind of keep chasing your tail and keep doing the same thing over and over again.
I met up with you in person a few months ago in Madison, Wisconsin. You and I have a mutual friend, Sean Kingry at the Kaiser Automotive Group. It was great to see you, Jay. And one of the things that we discussed, we were sitting in Sean's office. By the way, he doesn't drink those as many Diet Cokes anymore. He's a more of a, you know, a healthier lifestyle these days, and good for him as well.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
We talked about there was a transition. When I met you 5 years ago, you were Find a Wrench, and there was a whole history behind that. And there's been a transition now to Wrenchway over the past few years. And Jay, it looks great. Okay.
Thank you.
Tell us why. Why did you, why the change in name and the change in the direction, some of the things that you've been doing?
It's funny that you asked that, because that's something that came up in our conversation with Sean, and Sean kind of pointed out a blind spot for me when we sat down and said, "Hey, love what you're doing with Wrenchway, but Find a Wrench, you had, you know, so much visibility, and I was kind of wondering what happened to that and where it went." And I'm like, in the back of my head, yeah, we probably didn't do a good enough job of explaining that transition. And so I appreciate you giving me a few minutes here to kind of talk about that. So Find a Wrench, I started in 2017. One of the problems with Find a Wrench, and that it was a great company, it was actually a profitable company, it was a good company that we decided to shift to Wrenchway from, but it was more of a recruiting-based company, meaning that we were more of a recruiting firm. We would go out and find technicians for people. One of the problems that we really saw was that we weren't really attacking the core of the issue, the actual problem, right? It was more of maybe robbing Peter to pay Paul. And when I was growing up in the industry, you know, I've been in the industry since I was 9 years old. And I remember my dad, when I was a kid, talking to me about what a cardinal sin it was to take a technician from a neighboring shop. And that kind of was that way all the way up until people got desperate to find technicians. And kind of the rules just all went out the window at that point, because everybody's desperate for technicians. And so we saw this constant cycle of, I take a technician from you, you take a technician from your neighboring dealership, that neighboring dealership then comes back to me and takes the technician. And it just ended up in this wild west that we're in today of technicians kind of going all over the place. And frankly, a lot of them just aren't happy regardless of where they go. And so we need to really attack the foundational problem that we have with that. And so we looked at ways that we could do that. We knew that we needed more of a presence in schools, but at the same time, we need to kind of shore up the reason why these technicians aren't happy in the first place. If we load up on the school side and we're packing, you know, this boat full of technicians, but we have a leaky boat and we're sinking the boat, that doesn't help anybody out. So what can we do to bring more education to the industry? What can we do to help people understand what they've got to change in order to keep people happy? And that's another piece of the industry that we're really struggling with right now, is that we're not seeing those technicians hop from shop to shop as much anymore. We're just seeing them flat out leave the industry altogether. And so until we really address, you know, the foundation of that, we were just going to continue to struggle. And I mentioned earlier, you know, we launched Wrenchway in 2020. So Find a Wrench, a quick timeline. Find a Wrench launched in 2017. That grew really, really fast. Honestly, probably faster than I would have even imagined. But in 2020, I knew we needed to change. So I paired up with my business partner, my now business partner, Mark Wilson. He had more of a technology background, a very, very smart person. We put together a platform really to allow that technician to do their due diligence on a shop, make sure that they knew what they were signing up for in hopes that they go to the right spot for them. Not every dealer is going to be the right fit for every technician. And so we needed to address that part. So that was the first part that we attacked. Then the school side, when we launched School Connect, the funny part about School Connect is when we first launched it, I think we all felt like it was going to take off because it was such an obvious need, and it didn't. So we kind of had to do some handholding between the schools and the shops, and we're still doing that. But I'm happy to report that about a year ago, we were at about 150 schools on the platform. We're now near 700. Everything we do for schools is free. So we don't charge the schools anything for anything that we do. And we've been able to really have some cool stories about helping these schools out. So the shift from Find a Wrench to Wrenchway was all about how do we help the foundation of this rather than kind of putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
Everybody, you can learn more about Wrenchway. You see at the bottom in the scroll, wrenchway.com. Jay Gonenin is the co-founder and president. Jay, that's your email on there, I see, as well.
It is. Yeah, and anybody can reach out to me whenever they'd like. For those of you that have talked to me in the past, you probably know I love talking shop, and I'm a pretty open book. So if you ever want to reach out and just talk, feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to help, even if it's to brainstorm in your current operation of ways that maybe you can find yourself in a better position.
Well, Jay, congratulations to you and continued success to Wrenchway for all the great work that you're doing for our industry. And, you know, very appreciative of you and your friendship as well.
Thank you, Ted. The same goes for you. So proud to see the Fixed Ops Roundtable hit 5 years, and you've done so much amazing work, and to see the growth of it over the time from that first meeting in New York City has just been phenomenal to watch. So keep up the great work. Keep up what you're doing for the industry. It is sorely needed, and I'll forever be a huge fan of what you're doing.
We had humble beginnings, Jay.
We sure did, yeah.
Everybody, one of the leaders in our industry, Jay Gonenin from Wrenchway, here with us today at the Fixed Ops Roundtable.